Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
What happened?
Ooh. I don't know. I got to do something different every year, week.
At least my ears didn't get blown off this morning like usual. I don't know who was sitting here last hour, but
what?
They don't have a hearing problem like sometimes.
I think Terry was over here. I think we need to get that boy a hearing aid or something. Cause, it's like, holy moly.
Yeah, you say it, whoop.
Well, it's Sunday once again. It's July 17th. Wow. We're way into fire season. The year is flying by. Five months to the next election.
Four months.
Just a little over 3 months.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy.
I'm here in the studio, here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who's all the heavy lifting.
Good morning,
okay,
everybody.
And then we have a special guest who's going to be a holdover from Jefferson State of Mind. I don't know if a holdover.
I'm sorry, I got so chuckling about
like
that.
Sounds like holdover.
He's in the holding pattern.
Captive, maybe.
Yeah, sounds like you're in the detention cell or something, you know, or in the army and you didn't make it out of basic. we have Chris Kellstrom, who's in holdover status.
They won't let me leave.
No, you can't go.
The door's locked.
Well, just be glad it's not a non-pay holdover status. Maybe it is. I think maybe the Board of Supervisors candidacy is probably the gift that never stops giving.
Yeah.
Well, and some of it, yeah. Some of them just keep giving to us, don't they?
I guess it's better than, having a township in Siberia. But, you know, I mean, on the Kamchatka Peninsula or something. But we're here in Reading, and, it's starting to look a little bit like hell out there.
In many aspects.
When you look out in the morning and you see heat waves, rising up off the street, you know, we're starting to get to summer. It doesn't get hot till about 115, I think.
I was born and raised here. That's kind of my feelings. I mean,
please.
We were in Tule Lake yesterday, and they're complaining it was 90. It's like, well, that was our low last week.
So. I have to agree with them, though. Anything over 90.
They were hot.
And we drove through a swarm of locusts to get there. It was quite interesting, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we were looking for the three horsemen and listening for trumpets at this point.
Did Tule Lake turn red, and then there was flies and was out there trying to part the Tule Lake Reservoir.
And they rolled their truck because of the locusts.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it looked like yellowish brown snow on the ground. I mean, it was thick on the freeway, and I mean, it was like it was raining. Just
I think we got a TikTok of Chris by the side of the road going, "Let my people go."
How do we turn that water into wine is what I'm wondering.
Wow. I would prefer bourbon or scotch.
Well, sometimes you don't have a choice.
Well, sometimes we just don't. Boy, I'll tell you what. I think Cyber Dave is on assignment.
Well, on assignment.
Yeah, not feeling good or something. Yeah, and we also have Liam. And every time I think of Liam, how you doing, Liam?
I'm doing great.
Good. Every time I think of Liam, I think of Liam Neeson, and I want to say, hey, you got any bananas? Sorry.
I'm not going to say a word. Not a word. Just hello, Liam.
Hello.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't get enough coffee this morning or something, you know. But we've been burning a lot of oil lately, and I'm not sure if it's the midnight oil or not. But that and sending it to China and places like that. And, you know, we've got a new contract going with
them. They needed our reserves worse than we did, apparently.
Of course. Of course. Even though I just got a GS, what is it, USGS report here that says that we have more oil between Alaska and Montana and Wyoming than all of the other places in the world combined.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it came out, I'm looking at the report, you know.
You know, it's pretty bad. I got gas this morning, Cottonwood, it was under $5, and you get excited. Yeah. Oh my God, it's under $5! You know what I mean?
People are posted on Facebook, and I'm like,
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, now you got gas lines in Cottonwood. You know what I mean? It's like, holy crap. Yeah.
Gas lines in Cottonwood.
Yeah, because everybody's going there. They're stopping, coming off the freeway to get the fuel in Cottonwood.
Last time I saw a gas line in Cottonwood was at the parking lot of the grocery store down there. And there was a bunch of people with these red utility cans, and they were standing by other people's cars with hoses.
I thought you were going to say it was at the taco wagon, but.
Which one? The one on the east side or the one on the west side?
And neither one of them give you gas, folks. Those are both great facilities.
I know there's a Texas taco joke there, but I'm going to let it go. So let's, enough of the banter, as they say, and maybe we should get down to brass tacks a little bit here. Where do you want to start with, you know, the problems that you're going to be the one in charge of solving every single one of them, Chris?
I know. Well, yeah, the only worst place to be and then the Board of Supervisors would probably be the ACID board. Yeah. So,
that's true.
You know, and I may have misspoken on the last segment or wasn't clarified or so, I'm not sure. So anyways, just to be clear, the situation of the ACID board, there was a lawsuit filed by NRDC. Trump administration had changed some of the plans, and they filed a lawsuit and found one judge to agree with them. And actually, the water that was going to be allocated, according to this judge, which now goes into the Biden administration now when they're going to do this, was actually 0%.
Oh, those guys are a bunch of problems.
Oh, yeah, and these people were happy about that. 0%, that was great with them.
Yeah.
And the Bureau of Reclamation and, you know, several groups, and they ended up hammering out a plan. So we got 18%. It wasn't our board that, you know, came up with a solution of 18%. Our board was handed 18%. This is all your game.
Yeah, they were kind of forced into this. We had those guys on last week, I guess it was, and Brenda and Ray. And it sounds like their hands are kind of tied on this.
Their hands were tied, and you know, there's a lot of angry people down there right now. And I mean, and you know, the board is who they want to look to and take their frustrations out because they're representing these people, and these people are angry. So,
and they have a right to be angry.
They have a right to be angry, absolutely, no question about it. But you know, it's the board did not do this to them. The board made the best decision they could with the circumstances they were put under. And I mean, and you know, the board didn't want 18% of the water. They wanted at least their 75% that they should have been guaranteed, and obviously they would have taken 100%. But I mean, it is what it is. They made the decision. And, you know, I went to the last board meeting, and there was a lot of angry people there. And you know,
we're talking about the water board down in Cottonwood.
Correct. Yeah, the ACID board. Yes.
Where's that? Where are they at?
So they hold their meetings at City Hall in Anderson.
Okay.
And you know, there's a room full of people there. And ironically, so when we first got this water, and you know, was 18%, and the board voted, and now the board took a poll at the meeting that day, and I don't know if there's three people there, four people there, whatever, you know, however many, I guarantee there's probably less than half a dozen people there. So here they are. They took a poll.
Were they all angry?
Not at this point. Not this, and I wasn't there. So I want to be the first to say that. I wasn't there. So.
But it's not, it doesn't sound like there's a ton of audience participation.
Well, no, that's what I'm getting at. So months ago, when they had to make this decision on this 18% and what they're going to do about it, because it's not going to get past, you know, Crown Motors, and it's not going to get to Anderson. It's not even going to recharge the wells in Wooded Acres. I mean, this water's going to do us basically
no
good.
It's going to dry up before it gets
there. And so. So when they made that decision, they pulled the crowd. Now, I guarantee there wasn't much of a crowd there, but again, whose fault is that? You know, I wasn't there, and I'll be the first to say I wasn't there. So I can't go back now, and hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, I wish we would have done something different. I wish we would have, you know, done something. I mean, but again, I wasn't there. They did their best to represent the people that were there. They took a poll. They made the decision. They made the best decision at the time with what they had to work with.
Right.
So, hold on just a second. Liam, you know those two last posts on the chat room?
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, now we're in a crisis. Now we're not getting our water. The 18% that they had was useless to us. So they sold it to people that could use it, you know, that actually could, you know, use it, whatever. So now this is an important issue. So I go to the next board meeting and I got to tell you, even in the next board meeting now at this point, the ditch is going to be empty and we're getting no water. And so this is a pretty important thing here.
So what's gonna, do you have any idea what the solutions are? I mean, are there solutions? What, everybody gonna have to, you know, ship their water in or what's going on?
Well, I mean, yeah, right now, the solutions are, pretty limited. You know, I don't know what we're going to do. There's some talk that we just need to fill the ditch. It's our property. They took it from us without due process, and it's ours, and we have the right to take our property back. Just like if they came in and somebody took your car or, you know, took your couch or whatever, you can go back and take it back.
Is there any way to do that in such a way that it's just not, you know, wasting the water?
Well, I mean,
where are you going to get it? That is the other issue here. Well, to fill the ditch and the way it has to be filled isn't as easy as just turning a faucet and it's going to fill the ditch.
Right.
Right. Well, my understanding was that the water that was going to be allocated, if they did put it in the ditch, would not even get past, you know, get where it's supposed to go anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, is there another way to do this? I don't know. I mean,
the board is looking at every option. I mean, their lawyer is saying, well, we're going to sue the Bureau of Reclamation, but it might be a year down the road from now. So that's not going to do us any good this year in that ditch. It may not do us any good next year in the ditch. But again, it's our property that they took that's ours. We have a right to it. So I've talked to Mark Baird. I've talked to another gal in Anderson. I didn't get permission to use her name, so I won't say her name. But she, both of these people, you know, have probably forgotten more about water rights than I'll ever know.
Right.
I mean, they've been in it a long time. And so I've talked to several people about it. And, you know, Mark's point of view is, don't get sidetracked with anything else. This is plain and simple. This is a plain and simple case of the government took your property without due process, and they have no right to take it.
Well, what would be just compensation is where you go then. I mean, what can make you whole? The water's not there, evidently, and the money, nobody, I mean, does anybody want the money? No, they want water.
Well, in the just compensation, I mean, you're probably talking, I mean, literally billions.
Because the property value goes a long way.
I see. In other words, to make you whole, it's not just
right.
the water.
The wells that have dried
right,
up.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that right now in Wooded Acres, there's a half a dozen wells that have dried up. There's people that have no water. So their solution is they can get into the Anderson Water District, which sometimes that's shorter to them than the Redding Water District. But I think it was $40 a foot or some ridiculous, $400 a foot, some ridiculous amount where it's going to literally cost these people $100,000 a home.
Yes.
When they're dividing it by four, and that's just to get it to the property line, and then have a plumber come in and wire it into their house or, you know, pipe it into their house. So you're talking, you know, these people are going to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get water. So, you know, there's one little issue. Now you've got areas where people might have 10 acres or 5 acres or 50 acres that was irrigated pasture. Well, irrigated pasture is worth three times the value of unirrigated pasture. So now these people have a $500,000 piece of property that's now worth $150,000. Because, so again, the value is going to be in the billions. This Peter Pan Gulch fire, how it started, speculation on that. I'm not going to speculate, but it started one way or the other. It started.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up going across a dry field that was once, last year was a green pasture. Would have never gone across that field because it was a green pasture in the past. but it went across green pasture, jumped the ditch, which wouldn't have jumped done that either because it would have been full of water, but there was no water.
So this is exacerbating much more.
And the impact to the wildlife is just extreme. I mean, there was no environmental impact study done on this at all. It was just, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're doing. This is what we've negotiated. And now here, board, you figure out what you're going to do with 18% of the water, which is useless to you.
Right. And you got to remember where this came from. It came from the governor originally. He's the one that placed an emergency.
Well, it came from an environmental group.
But he did a state of emergency, which caused the ball to get rolling in regards to the allocation of water.
Yeah, and when they came out with 0% that we were going to get zero, we weren't going to get the 18%, 0%. They were happier about that. You know, 18% was negotiated by the Bureau of Reclamation. So,
it's a combination, sort of the perfect storm thing is what I'm hearing, because, you know, not only I think the mismanagement of the water period to begin with, I mean, sending it down to the Delta smelt, you know, not even the native species.
Exactly.
And then you've got lack of rain, you know,
and snowpack.
And snowpack, and you've got, basically a socialist communist government down in Sacramento that really is not looking out for the best interests of the people. He's looking out for the best interests, in the best interests of keeping government bigger, stronger, and more controlling.
And anytime you get government involved, it's going to be a mess. So for instance, 2014, part of the problem with this irrigation ditch is it's 108 years old. It was hand dug, you know, so you've got a dirt ditch. It loses about 40% of its water just out of the bottom of it, out of the holes, we have a huge hole right where I live. There's a whole section of land that he doesn't even bother to irrigate because it's either a swamp or it's star thistle. I mean, and because there's a hole, middle of a drought, it creates a big, huge, giant pool down by the railroad tracks. I mean, it's a mess. So this year it's going to be dry, and I'm like, well, at least it's going to be dry. Maybe we can, you know, cement it a little bit, bentonite. Obviously, we
take
need
advantage
to,
of some of the good
right.
things that might help.
We need to take care of wooded acres because this has come to light how important it is to recharge the aquifers and the groundwater, you know, and the ditch was doing that also. But no, there was a government ruling in 2014. The Fish and Game said, oh, you can't bentonite that ditch or cement that ditch. It's created ecosystems. It's been leaking for 100 years.
You know, there was just a Supreme Court decision on this regulatory thing.
EPA,
But it goes to all of these different agencies that are regulating and overriding the rights of the individual states, counties, and so forth. And I think that's what's going to have to happen that's going to have to be upheld. That these guys just can't say, hey, we're from the environmental agency and, you know, we can use regulations to stymie everything that you need.
Right. And that's where they're taking away our property. A bureaucrat somewhere is taking away our property, and there's no due process. That is unconstitutional. And that's what, you know, Mark Baird has said. Don't lose sight of the big picture here. They have taken your property. So now, you know, my question is, and maybe somebody can answer this. I don't know. Maybe you'll have an answer. Maybe Mark will have an answer. But, you know, now, okay, this is our property and they've taken it. They gave us 18%. Well, guess what? We would have had 30% at this point or 20% at this point. So we're going to call that even now, and we're going to take back the rest. So whose jurisdiction is, if we fill that ditch, who's going to go to jail? I mean,
who can turn it on or who can make the water come to us? But my understanding, there's not enough water for the pumps to pump it out.
And I've heard that the river's low enough that it can't go into the gates to fill the canal. And yeah, so, you know, maybe there isn't a solution this year. I don't know, but I also did talk to months ago, I talked to a security guard that works nights up there, and he told me then, he says, I don't care what they tell you. Now, this is back, you know, he's talking about March, February, March. He says they were dumping water out of this lake in the middle of the night. He goes, I could hear the gates open. I could hear the water running. I could see it with my own eyes. He goes, they're denying it. They're not saying it, but they were dumping water all night long. And people that live on the river said the same thing. They said that river would be high all night long and into the morning, and then it would subside back down. So we had some rainfall. We had more rain last year than we had the year before. And in fact, there's been 18 other years drier than this year, and that canal's never been empty. So part of this is, government made. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question about it, and I don't know. And, you know, you have to get the water coming out of the dam, I guess, and somebody's got to push the button.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? Go up there and hijack the guy who's running the show and, you know, say, hey, you know, we're here from the county board of supervisors.
Right.
And we mean business. Open up the, you know, let the, you know.
And that's where we're at, yeah. That's where we're at. So we need to, you know, and we need to look into these things because, honestly, that's something that we need to look into. That's and I will say this. I was very happy. I heard the board, I think it was closed session, so it's rumored the board voted down to go into this compact with these other water districts. And as soon as they said that, the red flags for me just went up everywhere when our lawyer was saying, well, I think this is a good idea to go into these agreements, and I forget what the agreement was called, but we need to go into this agreement with other water issues. And it just reminded me of the Bundys. Oh, let's just go into a land management plan. You know, it's going to be free. Everything's going to be fine. It'll make it better for you, you know.
Yeah, trust
us. And guess what? You just turn your rights into privileges. And, oh, you didn't follow the plan, so now they've been taken away from you.
Right, so, and there was like 140 of them, I believe.
Right, so I was going very happy that I have heard or it's rumored that the board said, no, we're not going to go into that agreement. And thank you, board, for doing that, because that is exactly, in my opinion, what was going to happen. It was going to turn our pre-1914 water rights into privileges because we entered into this pack and entered into this group, and in the fine print it says, you know, we'll take care of you. We'll guard your rights.
Well, that's why, like you say, you go to the Constitution, and I think it was like the first six drafts that said the right to, you know, was happiness was actually property, you know. And the reason that they connected that is because property, if you lose property rights, these people that are running around that don't understand what's going on, if the government has the right over your properties, you know, let's talk about Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset, you know, you'll own nothing and, you know,
be happy.
But the real deal is you can't be happy without property rights because water's a property right. Money's a property right. Food's a property right. You know, I mean, so these people don't understand when you hand all those property rights over to a government body, a bureaucrat, you know, that doesn't really have your best interest in mind, what happens is you become slave to them.
Yeah.
And there's no good solution here, or simple solution, I should say. Because this affects a lot of different areas. It doesn't just affect the farmers in Cottonwood and Anderson area. It affects the school. It affects, because I talked to somebody, you know, they were using the water to cool
Anderson
the school.
Union High School, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they use
and
the water.
And so they're not able
now.
To do that. I mean, there's so many different areas that this is affecting now.
Yep, and the wildlife, I mean, it's sad. I was driving down Balls Ferry Road here a few weeks ago, and there was something in the middle of the road, and I didn't know what it was, and so I straddled it so I didn't run over it. And it was a turtle. You know, it was a poor turtle that had come out of Anderson Creek that's dry now. And, I mean, this thing's, you know, so here we couldn't bentonite the ditch in 2014 because of the ecosystem. Now all those ecosystems are dead. And, again, no environmental impact report. So they came in and took our property without just cause, without due process, and then, you know, didn't follow all the rules they would have made us follow.
Right.
You know, that's, again, the other ironic thing. So, you know, the board's in a bad position. The people in Cottonwood and Anderson are in a bad position.
Yeah.
We've been put there unjustly. They've taken our property when they shouldn't have. So, you know, what's the solution? I don't know, but we're going to work on it. We're going to figure it out. And if somebody has to go to jail because they're going to fill that ditch and save some farms and ranches and some turtles and some muskrats and some beavers, then so be it. You know, I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
I guess the next thing we're going to talk about is what we're going to wear to the apocalypse.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, and this has been coming for a while with the water, and a lot of people didn't realize how deep it was getting with this water.
There's
a lot
of things coming down the pipe when you look at the shortages, the supply chain issues, you know, the gas, and what's happening with the truckers. If you can't see that there's a little bit of a planning issue here of this all happening at the same time, man, I'll tell you what, it's like having an accident in the print room and discovering that you've created a newspaper.
Yeah, there's some forces in government that do not like self-sufficient people. So if you're living in Cottonwood and you have a vegetable garden and you're raising a cow or two and a couple chickens and a goat and you have some fruit trees and some nut trees, you don't really need the government to do a whole lot for you.
That's
you
exactly
can
right.
feed yourself.
Well, that was Jefferson's whole vision of America, was an agrarian society that was didn't depend on anybody else for their livelihood support or their living, you know.
Yeah.
And that way you can be independent and think like a free person. Oh gosh, boy, that's should be, you know, banned, you know, because that's way off the charts thinking.
But all I can say, it's time for people to band together on this because it affects so many people and they can do so much more instead of fighting amongst ourselves on this. You know,
you mean we shouldn't start the tinfoil hat brigade?
I'm just saying, I can understand people being upset. Totally get it.
I get it, too.
You know, but it's not necessarily the people that are in this community that are the enemy.
No, we got to quit fighting amongst ourselves and recognize the true problem, which is overregulation, over-government, big government out of control, whatever level, you know, whether it's...
Special interest groups getting their way over
and
the...
and stand up together on this. So.
I think we have... Do we need to go
we
to...
We do. We have a caller on the line. But I think we need to go to a break first.
Yeah.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Yeah.
back. Sovereign Mind Radio, a little bit of Green Day there. You know, you should watch that whole video.
I'll have to look at that one. No, I haven't seen that
one. Was interesting that I didn't realize that that whole story was about a guy that goes into the army or the service and actually gets killed. And I was reading some of the lines, man, of some of the people talking about their people that were involved. Their son, guy was raising his grandkids. It was pretty trippy. So I would watch that if I were you, just to get the background on it. It's pretty interesting. Okay, we're back, and we're...
All right, well, I guess we need to go to our caller before we go to our next segment. Good morning, Dolores.
She's not here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
That's okay.
Jim is like, no, not Green Day. Well,
so I guess we kind of went over all the water issue.
What's next? What's the big thing on the term limits?
That seems to be a big thing. How's that sound?
That seems to be everybody's favorite. So
okay, let's
go. It's one of mine because I don't plan on doing this the rest of my life. Sometimes I wonder why I'm doing it now, but I definitely not, and I don't think county politics or city politics should be, you know, or school boards or anything else should be a lifetime position. I think it should be a civic duty. You go there, you do what you want to get done, try to get as much accomplished as you possibly can. It puts a little more fire under you if you know you only have one term or two terms and you're going to go ahead and leave and give the next person a chance. So, yeah, term limits are huge. Again, 20 years, 16 years, 12 years, I just don't see that. This should not be a career. It should be a civic duty. So I plan on putting in term limits, possibly two terms would be maximum. I wouldn't even mind if it was one term, but I think two terms would be maximum. There's, you know, some things that takes quite a while to get accomplished, and you don't want to be halfway through a project and turn it over to somebody else that, you know, undermines you or doesn't want to do it. So, but I'm all for two terms. That'd be it. To prove that I'm, you know, not just saying this as a politician that wants to get his foot in the door and then stay there the next 24 years. The retirement, I will turn down day number one. I won't take the retirement. We have an unfunded liabilities with, you know, some of the retirements out there. I will not add to that in any way. So, since I don't plan on doing this for the next 20 years, I'm not going to take the retirement. I will turn that down day number one.
No, even if you took it, I don't know.
You're probably not going to get much.
I don't think I'd count on it.
Yeah, so I'm really not losing anything.
Well, while we're talking about limits, how do you feel about campaign money
contributions? You read my mind, sir.
Yeah, that doesn't really bother me. I mean, it's, you know, again, it doesn't bother me. I raise my own money, which comes in kind of handy. It's sometimes you do things in life and, you know, you don't even really realize there's might be a bigger reason out there until later on when the dots start coming together. But I got into fundraising, I don't know, probably 2014 or so, and learned how to put on fundraisers and put on a dozen of them, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years from then. Now I've probably helped or put on, I don't know, 30, three dozen, you know, quite a few. Became an auctioneer somewhere in the middle of one of them. I became an auctioneer.
I kind of remember that.
I actually remember that day specifically.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. That's a day in history.
And I've been doing it ever since. So, you know, it's like, hey, this fundraising is kind of fun, and I got really good at it, and, you know, I've helped veterans groups, and I've helped other candidates, and I've helped, you know, different organizations, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, it takes money to run for politics, and, you know, an easy way to do it is just go to a bunch of special interest donors and say, hey, can you give me $4,900, because they tried to fix it once with a $4,900 contribution limit.
Right.
Hey, can you give me $4,900, can you give me you do that enough times, and pretty soon you owe people $4,900 worth of favors.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so I guess
we do have Dolores back on the line. Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning. Chris, can you kind of let me know, or can you say, when is the next meeting regarding the water? And also, I do believe I have a solution. I like to run it by you without putting it out in the public, because I don't believe in putting information for the enemies to know what you're planning to do. It's always good to keep it quiet until you know what you're doing, you know. So I like to run it by you, because I did run it by an attorney. So just something I like to see about running it by you, but when's the next meeting?
Okay, well, we have a little meeting tomorrow night, but it's really just we're having a fundraiser next Saturday, so mm-hmm. this is basically just the fundraising meeting. So that wouldn't really be the place to do it. We are planning the last board meeting we went to Thursday. They're talking about having a town hall, which is what probably where your idea would be the best worked at. So they haven't set a date for that yet. I can let you know as soon as they do. We've been having a regular meeting. So we've been having basically two meetings with the ACID. So there's a regular board meeting, which is, you know, the board of directors. It's under the Brown Act. It's usually at City Hall. Sometimes it's upstairs. Sometimes it's downstairs, depending on the crowd, you know, whatnot. So that's your regular board meetings that we have there. And they're the ones that are talking about doing a town hall. I mean, they would like to welcome in the public, welcome in comment, welcome in speakers, welcome in whoever, and answer questions. Under the Brown Act, on the regular board meetings, they're not really there to take direct questions and back and forth banter with the crowd. So that's what the one we were under on Thursday. There were some people that were upset about that, but it is what it is. It's a regular board meeting. The people that were upset, none of them had been there before to realize that that's kind of how it works. It's kind of like the Board of Supervisors. You go say your 3 minutes, and you're not really looking to banter back and forth with them. This is not a question-answer. This is a information, and they listen to you. So there will be a town hall. I'll let you know when that is. Dolores, I don't think it's set. There's not a date yet. And then we've also been having some meetings outside of the board with the ACID water users. So we kind of created another committee of the ACID water users. That's who's having the fundraiser this Saturday at the community center in Cottonwood. It's another group of water users that kind of want to try to find some solutions, maybe outside the box type of deal. So next time they, and again, we haven't got one set on that either yet, as I know of, other than tomorrow night, which is really just a fundraising committee meeting. So as soon as I let you know, or find out, I will let you know, Dolores.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris.
Yep, absolutely.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Dolores.
All right. So I'm not. There's a question from. I think he already knows the answer to that. I don't think we can ban anything and anybody from the meetings and at the Board of Supervisors.
No, they call it freedom of speech. Unfortunately, it's for everybody.
But crickets. But you know, it's like this last board meeting. You know, it just unbelievable. These people, oh, we're afraid to go to the board meeting. What are you, children? What are you, on a freaking playground or something?
That narrative is really kind of getting old, and it's a narrative that they continue and continue and continue to try to build because of the right-wing rhetoric and the threats of violence and the people are afraid to come forward.
You could say something like, oh, gee, I think we should find another solution. You're being violent.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's just absolutely
racist.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
I had that brought to me by a couple young ladies from Bloomberg wanted to interview me, and we were going around in those circles where they, you know, well, maybe there's people that feel afraid to come forward. I said, well, I if there are, by all means, have them get a hold of me. I'd love to hear from them. I mean, I'm pretty transparent. I'm out there. And
do you think me standing out front asking for their lunch money in a mean way is something that might keep them away?
Well, like I say, they kept going in circles trying to, you know, well, the right-wing rhetoric and some of the things that, you know, people on the militia and the red, white, and blueprint have said, and people feel threatened, and they just kept going on and hoping that I'd say, oh, gee, yeah, those guys are crazy, and they're, you know, looking
right.
for blood. So finally, I got a little bit fed up, so I finally told these two young ladies, I said, during the recall, there was an act of violence. Did you guys know about that? And they're like, no.
Yeah, you know,
the one that smacked Kathy
Steinberg?
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, there was an assault. And during the recall, people collecting signatures, there was an assault. And these two girls were shocked. And what happened? I said, well, we had, you know, three grandmothers collecting signatures. And I said, and a deranged leftist came up and started screaming and yelling and cussing at them. And they said, okay, sir, you know, you have a good day. You don't need to sign this. And we're fine.
Do you know what she said? What?
I'm getting there, Mark.
Oh, I'm
good
sorry.
Good Lord.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Good Lord. Cut his mic, Lime. So I tell these two girls, I said, and one of the ladies made the horrible mistake of saying God bless you to him. I said, and he knocked a grandmother out of her chair, hauled off and smacked her, knocked her out of her chair. I said, so it wasn't our side that was violent. It was your side. And they said, wow, we didn't hear anything about that. And
yeah,
I said,
imagine that.
Of course you didn't, because it doesn't fit your narrative.
Well, and it doesn't evidently fit the narrative of the local media personalities who are supposed to be journalists and unbiased.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything about being threatened or anything.
How about being prosecuted?
But about me, I mean, they've tried everything. At when we had the board meeting outside, the other side tried everything possible to get me to engage with them.
I stepped in three or four times with people that were getting in the agitator's face, and I said, don't give him what he wants.
Yeah.
This is what they're looking for. And come to find out, we had a SWAT team sitting behind the building waiting for another incident so that they can make it another January.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. You know, I shouldn't be afraid those guys were coming to me. I'm not a big person. I'm a woman. I still go to Board of Supervisors meetings. Yeah. They were just trying anything in their power to get us to.
What I hear from these guys is
you're full of BS.
They're like children that throw fits. They really are. But then I also want to back up a little bit of the board. You know, Joe Chimenti completely this last time I was so angry with what he had to say. It was complete BS. Okay. Yeah. Well, I understand because, people have been afraid. We've been through, one guy was talking about a noose because he was angry up there. You know, hasn't been to very many board meetings since then and was, you know, venting. So he using that as the excuse. You know, what it is they don't want anybody opposing what they're doing, you know, and mm-hmm. So they want sheep to come in and do whatever, they want to do. But the other thing about Joe, when we were talking about, and we're going to go with this into the next segment after the top of the hour, I'm not sure how long you're going to be staying with us. We'll see. But was the voting thing, and there's overwhelming evidence on this 2,000 mules. Anybody who doesn't watch it can't speak to it, because if you watch it and you see what's going on, the evidence is overwhelmingly irrefutable. And his comment on this, and I've been thinking about this all week, it's really ticked me off. His comment was, well, if a court entertains that, you know, then I might want to listen, you know. So is that kind of like if a guy robs a bank and he doesn't get charged by the DA, does that mean it's not a crime anymore? Does that mean you shouldn't look at the evidence? Does that mean you shouldn't investigate? Does that mean that the person in charge of the prosecutions might not be doing their job? Does that mean that it's okay?
That means he wants someone smarter than him to look at it and tell him what it said, basically.
Touche. I was thinking about that all week. It just made me so mad I couldn't see straight. Anyway.
And with that, we do have Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, I didn't hear the end of Mark's comments, but about Chimenti, Mark, you're absolutely right. If you weren't upset about what Chimenti said about people being afraid to come to the Board of Supervisors meeting, and you're absolutely right about Kathy Stainbrook being the only one who was assaulted, a woman that was assaulted, and who was for the recall, actually trying to get signatures. I mean, and you talk about how Nathan Pinckney tried to antagonize people, how he's used the F-bomb, put people off in the Board of Supervisors building. If you're afraid of the people, like the women, the moms, the nurses, mm-hmm. The people that go to school boards, the teachers that have been speaking about the injustices and all the things that are going on, it's just a complete lie on Chimenti's part. Just like the lie that Chimenti, him lying about the fact that people that voted in Shasta County voted for the Dominion machine. When Nick Gardner did go out and talk to 200 people and got like 99% of them saying they were against the Dominion machine. So you may have covered that part, but when I was on hold, I couldn't hear the radio.
We're going to talk about that more in the next hour after this one.
Oh, that'd be great.
I got a clip from that Jovan Pulitzer that we want to listen to and some other stuff. But yeah,
great.
Yeah. Anyway,
but I mean, this crap with Chimenti talking about how people in Shasta County are scared to come to the meetings. Give me a break. I mean,
totally
80% of them are ladies there.
Well, and they never tell the truth. You know, the thing is, they never tell the truth, Terry. It's always disinformation. It's always, feelings and afraid and this and that. Yeah. And you know, they really are children. I mean, they never got their adulthood, acquired after, you know, a certain level. I mean, when you hit about high school, you should start be turning into adult. You should be facing the world. These guys never did that. They've been in safe spaces all the way through college. They've been educated beyond their own intelligence. And so now that's all it is a ploy to control you.
You're right. Have a great show, you guys.
All right, thanks. It's a good way to distract you and bring all the attention to them, and that's what they're after.
Well, it's a control. It really is a control mechanism at the end of the day. It's like, well, you know, we need to talk about the water. Well, you're a racist. Well, yeah. Okay, so, you know, but it's to stop the conversation.
Absolutely.
That needs to be had and get you defensive and onto something that's completely irrelevant.
Right, and now that racist isn't working anymore because, you know, they've taken a horrible word and just... you know, minimize it to nothing. Everything's
it's
racist
like,
at this point.
The dog that, or the guy that cried wolf, the kid
right.
that cried wolf,
right.
you know, same thing. After a while, nobody cares what
yeah.
you have to say.
So now that isn't working anymore. So now you hurt my feelings, Mark. Now you've hurt my feelings and I'm scared. So you can't talk anymore.
God, when that comes out of your mouth, it's like, I'm starting to enjoy this conversation even more.
I thought I told you to cut his mic, Liam.
I'm going
to
give him a freaking tear. cry me a tear. Squirt some tears, Buck.
But you know that they're kind of getting their way because we spend so much time
yeah.
defending
it
and dealing with it. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's right, but it really pisses me off that we have to spend so much time.
Well, that's what it is. That's
yeah.
the control. The control is to focus on them and their disinformation.
And their BS.
And it's not a reality. See, these people, they don't live in reality. They live in a parallel, bizarre universe, you know, where they're dressing themselves up as cats and they're pretending they're people that don't have a sex, you know, they don't know what the difference between a woman and a man is.
And they don't have a brain.
What it is, they have gone into the land of illusion. But let's talk about the Board of Supervisors now.
Yeah. By the way,
in the Board of Illusion.
By the way, I wasn't there Tuesday. Like I'm not there most Tuesdays because I work for a living. So I had brought this up. Yeah, I know. 4 years ago, I brought this up at a town hall in Cottonwood and pointed out to my supervisor at the time when he said I should come to his meetings. And I said, that's another thing. You have your meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. I said, I work for a living. I'm the guy that pays all the
right.
bills. I'm the guy that's taxed to death and pay the bills so you can have your meetings when I can't be there.
Right.
So now I will give him this. We've had a couple evening meetings in the last, you know, 6 months. That's something else I want to do on the board, as I want to move those evenings to like a Wednesday night. Tuesday night, you have City of Anderson and City of Reading have their, city council meetings, so I don't want to interfere with those. I believe City of Shasta Lake does the same thing, but I want to move them to a Wednesday evening or a Thursday evening, whichever is best for the constituents, whichever one they would prefer. But I want to move those to evenings and I want to start them around 2 or 3 in the afternoon so that we can get the county stuff done as far as, you know, this person here.
Stuff that doesn't need anything.
Right, has worked 20 years. We want to give her a plaque and this person, you know, whatever. I mean, so I don't want to keep staff and everybody in every department there until 10 o'clock at night. But as far as the nuts and bolts and the meats of the meeting where, you know, things, people need to be represented and have a say in something, I want that to be on a Wednesday evening when people can get off work and come to the Board of Supervisors meetings.
Well,
I think a lot of people agree with that.
I was there till 4 o'clock last night.
I was there till almost 4:30, and that whole thing was just
a
BS show.
You know,
it was a total BS show.
I listened to the vast majority of it on my way down to SAC, and on my way back from SAC, I was able to listen to the vast majority of it. So I heard probably 80-90% of it, what was there, but
right.
you know, that's. I wasn't able to, you know, speak my mind or give my 3 minutes worth of time because they have it when I'm working. They have it when the majority of people are working.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Know, we need to move those into the evening time so that more people have a say in their local government. More people can voice their concerns and their opinions.
I think that the it's spot on with limiting the amount of money that people can spend on getting these elections going because otherwise what happens, you get caught up in the trap of if somebody's got a big backer or a big donor, you can't compete with them unless you get a big backer or a big donor.
Right.
And then it takes away from the actual issues that should be, you know, being dealt with.
Yeah.
Yeah. The playing field would be more level on both sides, all sides.
And it's ironic, you know, Mary brought that point up at the board because, again, I listened to it. So Mary's the one that brought it up at the board because now people on the other side, so to speak, or they have a pack, you know, and then, of course, the other group got a pack, so
that's
now
it.
Everybody has packs.
Everybody's got a pack now.
Right. So, but Mary, of all persons, Mary, I don't have $117,000 to put into my campaign account to make sure nobody runs against me, and that's what happened last time. That's why she ran mm-hmm. unopposed. She put in $117,000.
Of her own money.
Absolutely, yeah. And people looked at that bank, or looked at her statement and was like, there's no sense in me joining in the race. So, of all people, people to, and again, I'm not opposed to it. That's fine with me. We need more common people in the board of supervisors representing the people. It should be similar to a jury of your peers, so to speak. You know, not elitists running the county because no one else can afford to put $117,000 into the campaign account while other people are deciding whether they want to pull out paper or not to run against
it. Yeah, well, it forces people to go to other money sources and beg for other money sources in order to compete. And that's just not right. You know, even if they're benign or, you know, don't have a stake in it and or just, you know, want to, you know, be good people, even if that's the case, whether it's on one side or the other, you know, you do end up being beholden to those people to a degree. And what it does is it colors the election or it hazes the election away from what it should be.
Well, let's look at the Hatchet Windmill Project. Perfect example there. Okay. Five of the planning commissioners said this is a bad project. We don't want it. The people up there don't want it. It's bad for the environment. We don't want the Hatchet Windmill Project, the Hatchet Ridge Windmill Project. We're voting against it.
Right.
Then it comes to the Board of Supervisors, and four of them. Now, I kind of wonder how Joe Comente would have voted had he not been, if he was running again in the next one. But whatever. Doesn't matter. He did the right thing, so I'll give it to him. So four of them voted against it. One of them voted for it. Now, you know, I asked one of our local leftist blog writers when she brought that up, or I brought it up to her. I said, that's special interest money right there. I said, do you think there's a bunch of people in Happy Valley that were pro-windmill, that want to see windmills up there? And she pointed out to me, well, yeah, and at that time, he did represent Happy Valley. But she says, well, he represents more than Happy Valley. I said, okay, well, do you think the people in West Reading are pro-windmill and wanted him to vote for those windmills? I said, no, he voted for those windmills against his own planning commissioner because of the special interest money, because the unions had paid him, and the unions, in my opinion, were very short-sighted. There was going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 months worth of jobs, you know, pouring the concrete, erecting the windmills, whatever. So it was a project. They were for it. You know, union workers were going to be working. But again, my opinion, short-sighted. They were only going to be working for a few months. I mean, let's get them some jobs that last years. But anyways, regardless, they were for it. He voted against his own planning commissioner and voted for it because that's who his backers were, you know, and that's what we need to get out of
away
county.
From. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It should be for the people's business, not, you know, the only thing I can see good coming out of all of these PACs and everything is that it sure is stimulating the local economy as far as radio ads and printing and newspapers.
And it also showed the colors of what was really truly going on with a lot of the people involved with the elections, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
And it also shows the media. I mean, you know,
lack thereof.
Yeah, Reverging Selma was demonized. Now, by the way, folks, just so everybody knows, and it's on record, I have never met Reverging Selma. I have never talked to Reverging Selma. I know who he is only through friends and media reports. I've never talked to the man. And by the way, I didn't take a dime from the man. You can look at all of my statements online. I did not take a dime from the guy. But I'm the Reverging Selma candidate for some reason. Now, he's been demonized.
How come they're not the Sierra Pacific
Nome Lackey Indian candidates is what I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, because why isn't, you know, this out-of-state billionaire that's supposed to be this evil being that was basically ran out of Shasta County, you know, he shouldn't have any say in our elections. He shouldn't be able to give us any money. Now, quite frankly, the group of candidates that the PAC supported, they can't do anything for him. He doesn't even live here. They can't do a darn thing for him. Now, the Nome Lackey Indian tribe, why do they have such a vested interest in Shasta County?
Do you know how to spell casino?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And nobody seems to be bothered that a tribe in Tehama County is funding the candidates in Shasta County. Nobody seems to be bothered by
that. And some of them are Republican and some of them are Democrat.
Right.
But then they left in Selma alone after he donated to Barron Browning's campaign. I just, you know, find that pretty amazing.
You said it, I didn't.
I know. It's public record. Were all over it until he donated to Barron, and then they kind of shut up about it.
Do we have a caller?
I don't think so.
No, I guess not. Okay.
We got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes to the top. Okay, I guess I saw the light flash. That's what it was for.
Oh,
2 minutes.
2 minute warning.
There you go. So, I'll tell you what, being involved in this stuff in the last few years, you really start to figure out who the players are. You really start to figure out where the money's coming. You really figure out who's
in bed with who.
Who's in bed with who, literally in some cases.
In some cases,
But it's really sad that we've lost sight of the American dream as far as, you know, what this whole thing is supposed to be about. And that just saddens me. I don't know.
Yeah, you were supposed to go serve your government, serve your duty, and go back to your life and go back. I mean, and that was on a federal level. That was representatives and senators and, you know, go do your time.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Absolutely. Go back and run your farm or run your business or run your medical practice or whatever it was and go back to your regular life. You've done your part, go back. And that's...
We're trying to get back to that. That's why we have to do...
Level.
Yeah, at the local level, and absolutely. We got to get people in there that represent the people.
Or you can be like Joe Biden and you know, be a permanent fixture in Washington D.C. Should we talk about Hunter?
Oh my God,
it gets worse.
But before we go, and before we let you go, you do have a fundraiser coming up.
Absolutely,
you want to give the information out?
August 11th, doors open at 4, the Gaia Hotel in Anderson. I usually use the VFW hall, and I love those people to death, and they're fantastic. But it's August, and the Gaia has very good air conditioning, so that's why the change of venue. Great food, great area, great venue. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6. It's a Thursday night. We're going to try a Thursday this time instead of a weekend, so if you have weekend plans to go skiing or camping or whatever, you can still do that.
We're in August.
We're in August.
There could be water skiing.
No, skiing.
Oh, water skiing?
There's this thing as snow skiing. See, I was thinking.
Yes, yeah, snow turns to water in summertime, Mark, and you can still ski on it.
I see. Is he not amazing?
There's no chairlifts or anything.
Well, they're not supposed to be. So anyway, it's going to be August 11th.
August 11th, Gaia Hotel. Yep. Looking for table sponsors, buy tables. It's $50 a ticket, $400 a table, and I'll give you $200 in raffle tickets if you buy a $400 table.
And so if you want to help donate an item, we can take those too.
Absolutely. Looking for all donations, items, all maybe some of those chairlift tickets for your water skiing trip, whatever.
Well, thanks for coming in, Chris.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate that.
And we've got a lot more to go on in the rest of the show. We've got the weekend review. We'll have some callers at the end of that. And there you have it. So thanks a lot.
All right, you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Food for the first time, and more are arriving on foot. Inflation in the U.S. now at a 40-year high, and gas prices have been surging since April of 2020. With the average cost nationwide briefly hitting $5 a gallon in June, the food banks are struggling to meet the latest need, even as federal programs are providing less free food, grocery store donations are down, and cash gifts of any kind don't go nearly as far. Bob Agner reporting.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia continuing to block his party's plans for more spending. He's concerned that additional spending could fuel the already raging fires of inflation. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's no secret, America. We've been let down. Inflation is taking its toll in the grocery stores, the products we buy, and the pain of every visit to the gas pump. At Upside, we're fighting back with our free app that pays you back serious money on every tank of gas or diesel, up to 25 cents per gallon, just for using the Upside app, no strings attached. Upside users have already been paid back a total of more than $250 million. With inflation and the soaring price of gas, it's easy to feel like you're losing control. But with Upside's free app, you can start putting money back in your wallet with every gallon. Whenever you want, cash out with PayPal, an e-gift card, or transfer the money directly into your bank account. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an additional 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first fill-up. That's promo code S-A-L-E-M. Remember, use promo code SALEM when you download the free Upside app and get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank of gas. Cashback is not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Crews are struggling to contain wildfires in France and Spain as Europe wilts under an unusually extreme heat wave authorities have linked to a rise in deaths.
Firefighters say more than 10,000 hectares of forest have been on fire in the Gironde in France, with campsites evacuated around the Dune du Pilat, Europe's tallest sand dune. In southern Spain, near the tourist area of Malaga, at least 3,000 people have been evacuated from their homes. Daytime temperatures in Spain and Portugal have exceeded 40 Celsius. Morocco has deployed additional firefighters to tackle forest blazes in the north of the country. And wildfires have also spread to the coast of Croatia and the Greek island of Crete, where they're causing widespread destruction.
The BBC's Bethany Bell, not fire but flooding that's displacing people and claiming lives in Sudan's western Darfur region. Townhall.com. Monkeypox appears to be targeting a select group in the Big Apple.
New York City officials say nearly 95% of the cases involve mostly men from the LGBTQ community, not a single woman among those reported, and no cases confirmed in straight males. Of the 336 cases reported in the city, 321 are men, the largest number in any city in the U.S. The remaining 5% include transgender persons and persons whose gender is unknown. Transgender people were not included in the total numbers. There are 1,470 cases of monkeypox reported in the U.S. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Weather woes in southwest and northwest China, where flash flooding has left at least a dozen people dead, put thousands of others in harm's way. China State Media says in the southwest at least six people have died, another 12 missing, after torrential rains unleashed the flash floods. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Smile if you can. If you read a teleprompter, you gotta have a brain in your head. I remember down in Houston, he was talking really slow, when a cowboy in the back jumped up and yelled, "Empty shells, Joe!" Joe slurred his words and started sweating, then everything went wrong. His teleprompter glitched and he was gone. If you read a teleprompter, you gotta have a brain in your head. Those words are moving quick for such an elderly man. Just do your best, Ron Burgundy, and smile if you can. If you read a teleprompter, you gotta have a brain in your head. So they pumped Joe up with Zoloft and pills to numb the pain. Those Texans yelled obscenities when Joe came back on stage. Before the crowd got really crazy, they sent Joe back on home. Said, "Here's a middle finger for you go." If you read a teleprompter, you gotta have a brain.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio.
True words.
KCNR, that's Buddy Brown and his truck sessions. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is KCNR 1460, and you can go to KCNR1460.com if you want to go to the chat room and watch all the crazy guys that are...
The guy that just keeps posting under different names and can't stop himself.
We got not just a troll in the chat room, we have a golem in the chat room about half the time, and he's got a couple of screws loose. He's really got some issues. Okay, and then I got a couple of things I want to play here, and this is JP. Are we all hooked up in there, Liam? All right, very good. This is from the We Lie to You News segment that we get on a weekly basis, and here we go. Here's JP. I thought this was outstanding.
Good evening, and happy Great Reset. Tonight we've got compelling stories that will violate your psychology and help us further take over your mind. Please be sure to think we have your best interest at heart, or else it won't work. Our top stories tonight. The latest in how Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum are destroying lives and countries in order to save the environment. Sri Lanka overthrows their president. Hunter Biden had his iCloud account hacked. And it's been announced that people might start dying of a mysterious heart condition. It's not what you think. Find out what we want you to think in just a minute. First, reptilian overlord Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum want to take care of you, so much so that if you don't let them, they'll decimate your life. And if you do let them, They'll decimate your life, but at least you'll be happy about it. For the latest on the beneficial impacts of the policies that the highly revered, climate crisis-saving, very unelected world leader Klaus Schwab are having, let's check out what's happening in Sri Lanka. After strongly adhering to World Economic Forum influence over the country by Sri Lankan President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, the country's economy has been decimated. Their food shortages, fuel shortages, and medicine shortages have rampaged the country while inspiring the Biden administration and leading the country's very impressive inflation rate to 54.6% in June. And over this past weekend, citizens of the country, after mistakenly thinking they're being oppressed, flooded the presidential palace demanding the president resign. And it worked! Rajapaksa announced he will step down from office on Wednesday. He then tried to flee the country. Yet citizens and airport staff blocked him from leaving the country, as it's thought that he wanted to leave the country prior to his presidential immunity expiring on Wednesday so he can avoid being arrested for his crimes against the country.
This just in! He got away. Left the country after all.
Now we at the media want to clear up any confusion. The vast majority of Sri Lankan citizens who have been intentionally oppressed with Rajapaksa being under the thumb of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum haven't been oppressed at all. So why the revolt? Well, it's looking like the explanation for an entire country revolting is because they're all Trump supporters addicted to insurrections and human rights. Therefore, the January 6th committee is expected to conclude that the overthrowing of the Sri Lankan president that happened last weekend happened on January 6th. Because Sri Lanka is in a different time zone, as stated by star witness Cassidy Hutchinson. And let us explicitly remind you, just like how communism works everywhere it's implemented, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum's green policies work everywhere they're implemented too. And they absolutely will work, if you comply. And for U.S. citizens who look at our food, fuel, and medicine shortages, along with our mega inflation, and wonder, is our World Economic Forum compliant administration doing the same thing that the criminal Sri Lankan president was trying to do? Well, let us tell you, no! To help solve our fuel problem, energy expert Joe Biden told gas stations they should lower their prices. What else do we need here, guys? Plus, our good-hearted leftist leaders have already advised you that if you don't like the fuel costs, then you should just buy an electric car. It's clearly the solution. Meanwhile, in Gavin Newsom-led California, who is a strong loyalist to the World Economic Forum, the state has asked people to stop charging their electric vehicles due to power grid concerns. And in traditional fashion, the fact-checkers have stepped in to inform you that what happened didn't really happen. A necessary step to make the World Economic Forum's Agenda 2030 look the way it's supposed to. And in other news, the Epoch Times asks, why is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the United Nations and their Agenda 2030 involved in our global food systems? We'll provide you with full coverage of not looking into that answer, as we will now report to you on something else. I wonder why the Epoch Times had their Hong Kong offices set on fire. Maybe the elites just thought it was a food processing plant or something. Next in the news, you might be wondering why young people are all of a sudden very mysteriously dying from heart conditions. Because new findings suggest that up to 5,500 people might be dying in any given year from such heart conditions. Now, what's causing these lethal heart conditions? Solar flares. Yeah, that's right. The solar flares are doing it. And you're going to have to just take our word for it, because we know you don't have the equipment necessary to study solar flares to validate this very compelling explanation. It's been the solar flares. Now you can finally stop asking the questions that we don't want you asking. We also have reason to believe that solar flares are causing our open border, food shortages, fuel shortages, Biden falling off his bike, and Mercury being in retrograde is causing inflation. Damn the universe for conspiring against us. And Hunter Biden sits in boiling water as the iCloud account associated with his phone was hacked by a 4chan user. We don't know how it was hacked, given the very sophisticated passwords that a scholar like him must be using. Because as the owner of the laptop store has shared, that when Hunter dropped off his now infamous laptop that doesn't exist, he said his password is anal-f***ing-69. Hmm. Lisa, can you change the password to all my accounts? I think there's been a compromise. In his iCloud account on his phone, there's wholesome videos of Hunter with crack, having sex with prostitutes, documents of foreign payoffs, and him listing his father, Joe Biden, on his phone contacts as Pedo Peter, which is all likely to be 100% Russian misinformation, and we can confidently make this conclusion because we don't want you to know about any of this. So watch us stop reporting on all the incriminating evidence against the Bidens, and then watch yourself start thinking, well, if there really was something there, the media would be telling us about it, right?
Right. If you want the full details on the Hunter Biden iCloud hack, check out the video on JP's new Reacts channel, linked in the description here.
You stupid! You're gonna reveal the whole plan! You're gonna ruin it!
Never! That was one of JP's better ones.
He comes up with some good ones.
That was a good one. It's crazy stuff caused by solar flares.
Yeah, everything's solar flares now.
Everything's solar flares, yeah. So it, but I'll tell you what, he covered a lot of ground there, didn't he? And, you know, the week in review is pretty screwed up. I have a couple other things that we want to listen to as well. We've got the Arizona, this is coming in from Jovan Hutton, Pulitzer, and this is about the Arizona audit and what they've got down there. And then also, maybe we should stick with the weekend review here. We've got this comes from Mammoth Nation, and let's listen to this, and then we'll talk about this, and then we'll go to the weekend review. The Arizona audit update. This is the weekend review right here. Here we go.
This is your Mammoth Nation Week in Review. Well, the Democrats are getting annihilated left and right. In polling, and Americans are not happy. How could they be? Inflation was even higher than expected this week, reaching 9.1%, a new 40-year high. Keeping in mind the other most recent figures were also 40-year highs. But they say they care. They say they're trying.
Before I begin, I will address this month's CPI report. There is no question that we still have work to do. But it is important to note that these numbers do not fully reflect the recent drop in gas prices. Average national gas prices have fallen every day for nearly 30 days. Since mid-June, prices are down 40 cents a gallon. Fighting inflation is one of our administration's top economic priorities, which is why we have taken action to lower the cost of living for Americans, millions of Americans. We are releasing 1 million barrels of oil a day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower prices at the pump. We have reduced high-speed internet bills for millions of Americans, and we passed a tax cut to give working families up to $8,000 a year, which means giving folks more room in their budgets to buy food, medication, and school supplies for their children. President Joe Biden and I are always fighting to make sure that working families can get ahead and stay ahead. And that is why we continue to call on Congress to pass legislation to lower the price of prescription drugs, of health care, and the other everyday essentials that will meet the needs of American families.
But we know that's not true, because literally every crisis that they've created and or let fester has only gotten worse. If it was really a priority, we would be doing things that help to bring change, and inflation would be going down, not up. Again, people pay attention to results, not words. But this Democrat administration does get credit for one thing. Well, actually, maybe two. They're record setters, just in ways that crush Americans' bank accounts and make our communities less safe. And they also get credit for being so bad that even the few people who voted for Joe and Cam Cam now regret it and understand what we were saying about them. But things are so bad and the midterms are rapidly approaching, so what are they going to do? Come on. We all know what they're going to do.
Well, now we're seeing a fair amount of orange, which means you really should, in an indoor setting, a congregate setting, be wearing masks. It's just the appropriate thing to do.
So there's Fauci, as the World Health Organization, by the way, has said mandates and/or lockdowns are a distinct possibility in the fall. You guys, we've told you. Once you give your individual freedom over to the government, it never ends until the individuals, you, me, the rest of the country, decide to end it. We're now 2.5 years into 15 days to flatten the curve, and the Democrats are terrified of losing control in the fall. So you're going to hear ramped up conversation about new variants and discussions like this.
We're nearly 2.5 years into this pandemic. Most people have returned to some version of normal life, back in the office, back in restaurants, back at concerts. But Dr. Michael Mina, who's an epidemiologist, he tells CNN he expects another COVID wave in the fall. Should we be making adjustments in our daily life now in anticipation?
I think so. I mean, I think in some ways the way that we're going to probably be thinking about this is like we think about the weather. You know, the weather, when it rains, you take out your umbrella and you try and keep yourself dry. We know there's a lot of virus out there. Let me show you the community map the CDC puts out, you know, you find on their website, basically gives you an indication of how much virus there is and also uses hospitalization data. And this has gotten a lot more red over the past few months, a lot more virus out there. But if you're just like asking the question, how likely am I to be exposed to this virus if I'm out and about, then you'd look at the transmission map. And if you look at the transmission map, it is basically almost entirely red. No matter where you are, basically, in the country, there is a lot of virus out there. Now, Jake, again, if you're vaccinated, boosted, you're protected against serious illness, protected against death, if you're up to date on those vaccinations. But I will say, you know, the emerging evidence of just getting infected and reinfected, that's a cumulative risk, Jake. So, you know, even if you're somebody who's not at big risk from a single infection, if you're getting infected over and over again, that's a problem. And that's why I think the masks and ventilation and trying to do events outdoors, that's why it's still important when you look at those maps.
All right, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
You guys, please don't be offended, but you have to be extremely stupid to believe that this new strain is deadlier than the original, which, keep in mind, had a survival rate of damn near 100. There's no way that a subvariant is going to be stronger. But just wait for it. You'll know when this new variant becomes political. The CDC will once again start tracking cases of infection, and the media will dutifully use their case counter graphic that they love to put on the screen to scare the most gullible amongst us into thinking that they're at risk of dying. And if they don't do what the government tells them to do, it's going to be catastrophic. Don't fall for it, folks. All right, if you haven't already, join Mammoth.
So there's a lot to unpack there for sure, but you know, there's a lot of virus out there. There's a lot of freaking hot air out there is what there is, and they're going to try to probably play it off again because that's what they do, and they do have their dupes out there that just, you know, do whatever the government tells you no matter what.
Yeah, just keep getting jabbed. It's never going to end.
No.
There's always going to be something that you need to get jabbed for, a new variant.
Yeah, the variant, and then, you know, we can't explain all the people dying of heart disease, and, you know, you can't explain the fact that the guys who all got jabbed are the ones that keep getting it over and over again. And but you have the virus, so you're probably asymptomatic, so you're probably a deadly carrier, I'm assuming.
And they try to put it all on the ones that aren't vaccinated that
right.
were the problem.
If
it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be having this problem.
You are a big problem.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I was told by a friend today, talking about getting the jab. So now if you have somebody in the hospital and you want to go in and see them, like emergency or whatever,
right. They
no longer do, you know how they do this, used to do the scan, you know, fever, across your forehead or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Well, no, they don't do that anymore, but you have to go out and get tested for COVID at your expense and bring it back before you can enter the hospital to see somebody.
That's,
how crazy is that?
These people
crap.
Are nuts. They're freaking nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and it just goes on and on and on with these guys. And as long as they keep, you know, these wingnuts in power that want to, you know, further their agenda, will continue to see it. And that's why they're so afraid of this, is because they might not be in power much longer the way things are going.
Yeah, they didn't think people wise up to their little shenanigans as fast as they did with it. But, you know.
Crazy days.
It is crazy.
You know, and then we got on the, you know, talking about the oil. I do have the USGS report here that, and I can post this online, releases the oil and gas assessment for the Bakken and Three Forks formations in Montana and North Dakota. You know, we have more oil. You know, they're talking about estimated includes 4.3 billion barrels of unconventional oil and 4.9 trillion cubic feet of unconventional natural gas in two formations. That's just two formations.
Yeah, and I believe we have quite a bit even here in California.
Yeah. Well, and in the meantime, Biden is making a new deal with Iran to shell out $1 trillion by 2030, kind of like the old pallets of billions of dollars going to Iran. Doesn't this sound like Obama 2.0?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I guess we have a caller there.
We do. We have Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, nothing creative here, but then the last little play that you did, the guy says, and when it rains, we take out an umbrella. What's an umbrella?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I haven't been there in a long time. Where's rain?
I was just going to say, the real question is, what's rain?
Yeah, what is that?
There you go. I mean, you know, and this is so serious. And then Gavin Newsom, of course, he's already making his footprints on the front mat over there at the White House, trying to figure out what he's going to stop us from having. So, all right. Thanks, guys. This is a good show.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
I have another clip from, this is from an officer. And talking about the law that was just passed in California.
Which one? Which crazy law are we talking about?
This is about the truckers. Are you ready, Leah?
Oh, yeah. AB5?
Okay. No, this is something else. I haven't heard of this, so let's see.
Okay.
And whatever stores you shop at, it's not going to help the consumer at all. And it's going to force truckers to leave California if they want to keep their business and stay in business and go to a state that is not mirroring that. Unfortunately, a lot of states like New Jersey and New York always mirror what California does. So that's what's going to come up. And I really hope that the Supreme Court. So California legislators passed a law that bans owner operators from using a provider that gives them loads. So this basically going to take all the truck drivers that are owner-operators and put them out of business in the state of California.
So
it's something like 70,000 of them are getting ready to leave, but I'm not quite sure.
I'm not sure what the law is. But it's like, it just goes on and on and on with these guys. So
if it made it sound like if you're owner-operator, they're not going to allow you to pick up loads from certain warehouses or something. But I did see in connection with that, they predict that about 70,000 truckers won't be coming through California anymore.
Gee, that's not going to slow down the supply chain, is it?
No.
That won't hurt anybody. There's no food problems coming, the water, the food. Yeah, I think there's going to be a huge wake-up call here pretty quick, and we're not that far away from it. I mean, I think the people are starting to realize that this is a lot bigger problem, and we've got this administration that's just exacerbating everything. And so I don't know. We'll see what happens,
Yeah, I was just trying to pick it, you know, something up on that. Something about being owner-operators.
Yeah, I haven't got the whole story, so we'll try to follow up on that.
Yeah.
But I saw that, and
They don't have enough problems, like you say, with the supply chain and stuff. You know, the price of diesel and any fuel.
Oh, we had Andrew call in last week and talk about that there's the
oil shortages.
They're not going to have enough oil to do the change the oils on their
vehicles,
the trucks. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should go to a break here in a minute or so, and come back and start focusing on the
retail. Oh, okay. So I think it has to do with, because they're self-employed, and I'll dig into it more, that they cannot deduct their expenses.
Oh, yeah, that's really...
And have to pay hourly taxes.
Well, that would put them out of business.
Yeah.
That's why they can't do it.
That's why they're owner-operators.
That's so freaking...
So, ridiculous. With
I
that...
I don't think that's AB5, though. That's something else.
Well, that... Yeah, it's something else besides AB5, but AB5 goes back to, you know, the subcontractors, which we know, which most of the people don't know. They're trying to take it away.
Well, they just turn themselves into an LLC, but I guess the owner-operators, they probably... passing a law to get around that.
So. All right. I guess we'll go to a break, and when we come back, we'll have other things to discuss. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location, 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to share.
Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Little BGs there, just in case you want to know. Don't say it. Don't even say it. I don't want to hear it. Okay? Especially you, Jimmy. Otherwise, we'll have to block you from the chat room. I'm just saying it. Anyway. You found
just
something
don't.
On this?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the truckers and stuff. It is related to AB5. I'm still doing some research on it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do something on it next week if we drill down on it a little more, because it sounds like something else occurred or the log became effective or something. I'm not sure what all the deal is on it yet. But it's just
I think somebody's pushing it more and more. You know, when it first came out on AB5, and they were more worried about the Uber drivers and the Lyft drivers, remember, you know, that they couldn't be subcontractors anymore, and they were being reclassified. So, yeah, I'll do some more research. But California's good at that. We know that from being in the tax business, how they want to reclassify employees
right.
or subcontractors or workers or whatever, you know. And a lot of times at the federal level, you can be a subcontractor, but when you get to beautiful California, they say, want you to pay taxes, payroll.
We got Despicable Me down there in Sacramento, Gru Newsom, also known as Gruesome Newsom. You know, he's right out of the cartoon character, man. The guy, he's slick back hair, he just needs a little bigger nose and tighter suits. Anyway. So let's go to election integrity.
Which are we going to go local?
No, we're going to go to Arizona now. We kind of want to cover Arizona because this is about this Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who is going to we wanted to get him in here to audit the local elections here, you know, to make sure that our elections were secure. I mean, all I want to do is know we're having a fair and honest election. I don't believe we're having them. I don't believe that with the drop boxes. I don't believe with the Dominion
right.
systems. And then you there's more and more evidence coming out that these are, you know, skewing the evidence. Do you think that, we had Mr. Cimenti this last week say that the voters have spoken, Shasta County. They overwhelmingly approved, you know, what, 69% of the vote almost goes to Kathy Darling in Shasta County.
The numbers don't even make sense.
They don't make any sense. All the rest of the races could make a little bit of sense there because it's kind of close. But this doesn't make any sense to me. Well, Les said name recognition, there's this and that. But I don't trust it anymore. After you see 2,000 mules, after you see all the hanky-panky with the Dominion, is it a stretch to think that could have been skewed? No.
But he probably said it correctly. Of the ballots that were cast, they probably was the voice of them. That doesn't mean they were legit votes to start with.
So we wanted to get this guy, Jovan Pulitzer, to come in. I even played a video from him to the board at the meeting and to say what he had to say and, explain what he does, the process that he does. This guy's an absolute genius. He's got, I don't even have any patents and so forth. And I don't want to belabor the point of how smart this guy is. But I venture to say he's probably smarter than all the rest of the people in the room at the Board of Supervisors. But, we just want free and fair elections, whatever that's going to take. I don't care if we go down there and hand count everything and people stick their thumb in the purple, ink and put their ballot on. I want to know that these things are not being skewed. Because
right.
if you look across what happened in 2020, I mean, I don't care. These guys don't want to look at evidence. Oh, I'll wait if a court won't see it. You know, in other words, when you look at the evidence, do you know what the biggest conclusion I come to in 2,000 Mules is? This is a massive fraud perpetrated on a huge scale, which means there's
right.
big money in it, which also means that that if people won't pick this up, I mean, how far have we gone down this road of corruption that none of the media bought it?
Yeah, it's not just an isolated area. It wasn't just that one piece. So you can't get me to believe
how
that.
How much evidence
because
do you
more
need?
And more is popping up in different areas.
Oh, there's
and
more and more coming out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So if we don't have so I shouldn't question anything. We should just trust the guys that are in power that we've got a fair election.
Sure.
That's what they want.
Yeah, even if the percentages and the numbers don't make sense with the amount of voters that there is, whether you're a Democrat or Republic, you know. If you look at Kathy Darling's election, when you do the Democrats and the Republics and the undecided and you add it all together, the percentages don't come out right.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. And then I also want to say about the recount. I requested the recount, and it wasn't the Liberty Committee. It wasn't anybody else, which, you know, you get that disinformation from the people that call everybody else a tinfoil hat wearer when their stuff that they're talking about, you know, science and all this stuff is completely unbacked by any reasonable. It's just insane. Right. So that, you know, on the recount thing, I request the recount, and then they send me an email saying that, you know, they got my deal on the recount, which I got. Well, at the meeting, you know, they told me it's like 50 grand to do a recount. In fact, at the end of the day, which I didn't get them in the mail. See, this is what they said. Well, we sent you the email.
We sent you the email.
They sent me the email about the recount. I never got anything about the amount of how much it was going to cost. In fact, I didn't get that until the next day. And so, and I've got it, you know, maybe I'll post it online, take a picture of it. The first day was, oh, do you got 11 grand in your back pocket to pony up before the end of the day to initiate the recount? And that's day one. So each day I would have to pony up like 11 grand uh-huh. till we get to the 50. And of course, there was like $2,000 in there for illegal accounting administration, as well as all the man hours and stuff. But, you know, if they're not going to do a forensic audit on the thing, they're going to recount the count that they already did.
Right.
So you're going to get the same exact answers. What we want to do is challenge the validity of the Dominion. Yeah. And the ballots and the boxes and the paper and all of that stuff, because what we're finding out is that these machines have been preset. You can preset the machines. They don't have to be hooked to the internet.
There's been evidence that they've had little devices in the machines in other areas.
Well, what happens if have you ever heard like the Roku sticks or the Fire sticks? Can you stick a stick in one of the slots there and connect it to something to the internet without it actually having a wire to the internet?
Well, yeah.
Of course. Can you
Well, that's how they transfer the information, right?
Can you, for the precinct? Can you stick a flash drive in there and download a pre-programmed deal into them? Yes. So, and can we examine that to see if they did that?
No,
we can't do that because you're some kind of conspiratorial nut job, tinfoil wearing hat, knuckle dragon Neanderthal. And you're probably Republican too, which I'm not.
And we're white. And so,
oh, you're white. You're a supremacist.
Yeah, I know.
You remember the Supremes. I mean, the supremacists.
This is the new Supremes.
Is this the new Supremes? The new white Supremes.
Yeah, the new white Supremes.
The new white Supremes. baby.
And, you know, it may not be the people that are actually working at the elections office that are crooked, but like we're talking, the machines can come that way. There's processes that are being used that maybe they're not aware of exactly what's going on. And all we're asking for is to look at it, and it's like, no, you know, that whole Board of Supervisor meeting on Tuesday really upset. All that was just BS.
Oh, totally.
You know, total BS.
Oh, like,
sound like, oh, yes, we really care about how you feel, people, and then we're going to screw you anyway.
I'm afraid. They got violent. You know, really, it's like, so I also did mention the fact that, you know, I got my son's ballot, who's been in South Dakota for like 3 years now, and now he's in Nebraska, and I keep getting his ballot over and over and over again.
No, you don't.
And then Kathy's shaking her head. No, well, I actually have the ballot, and I can prove it. I didn't open it yet.
She was in there shaking her head. No, you don't. Like, no.
I think I threw away the jury summons. It probably wouldn't be that hard to follow up on that. I guess if you don't show up to like 3 or 4 jury summonses, it's okay now. I mean, I just gave that. That was like the green light for me. Why should I go?
Anyway. Well, for her to even think that something like that isn't going on, we know how unkept the voter rolls are in California and the county. We all know that, you know. And so, but she doesn't want to have us clean them up or look at them or any of that.
Well, just go away and shut up.
I know.
It's like I always used to say to you, just shut up.
Now, I know from past campaigns and stuff, we were sending ballots to people that live in China and things like that. And don't you remember a few years ago with the military, how they screwed up those ballots? Just saying.
Not enough to skew any election, though.
Oh, no, not at all.
No. It wasn't like it was like 69% or something.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to play this. This is a presentation by Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, and it was shown a few days ago in Arizona. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you'll get a taste of it. And I didn't play I'm not going to play the intro. I'm going to cut that out because, you know, I don't want to hear for 10 minutes, or it's like a couple, 3 minutes, you know, what his accomplishments are. If you want to play, you see the rest of this, I'll post it on Facebook, or you can go online or if the fact checkers get to it. But the headline is from MPN. Watch Jovan Hutton Pulitzer's presentation on his forensic investigation from the Maricopa County audit in Arizona. Boy, say that five times fast, like a shave of cedar shingle thin. Here we go.
In order to pioneer the concept of a full forensic audit for use in Maricopa County, Arizona, our team had to develop 25 different auditing and forensic technology programs and techniques which had never existed before. We call this new technology platform kinematic artifact detection. Kinematic simply means the motion and physical evidence trail of the physical attributes of an election, such as the original physical ballot voted, but also every aspect of that ballot, from the manufacturing of the ballot paper to printing the ballot, to folding, sorting, and mailing the ballot, and following it all the way through the mailing process, the return process, the election handling process, and eventual scanning, tallying, and election recording of the votes, and reporting the final outcome. We do this down to the individual precinct level. Our technology utilizes computer vision, machine learning, and artificial intelligence systems to conduct a full forensic audit of an election, and then report our findings. In the most basic reporting terms, in order to understand and to do a deep forensic audit of the Maricopa County, Arizona general election in 2020, we had to process over 20,895,610 digital and forensic images in multiple formats. We created in excess of 208 million individual evidence proof files. Our systems conducted a base measurement process of over 58 billion forensic measurements and generated over 2 trillion individual base computations. Our finds will be presented in part, since we are still deep in an ongoing forensic investigation of the 2020 general election in Maricopa County, Arizona. But this has led us to the initial conclusion of the 2020 general election in Maricopa was not certifiable in any manner. There was gross maladministration of the most egregious, neglectful manner. Not one single aspect of the election could be verified to have been operated according to the exact election rules, standards, and compliance procedures. There were hundreds of thousands of 14th Amendment violations and civil rights violations. There were hundreds of thousands of illegal votes. And at no time was the final outcome, as reported repeatedly in the media or by Maricopa County officials themselves in 2020, ever real, truthful, provable, transparent, and most of all, certifiable. There is sufficient and irrefutable evidence of pervasive voter fraud and widespread systemic election fraud in Maricopa County, Arizona. This is our cyber report, which discovered there is a predetermined algorithm running on the machines in Maricopa. Approximately 406,972 individual ballots were cast of a predetermined nature and inserted into the 2020 general election.
I guess that's all we got. Not sure what happened there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. More and more evidence is coming out all over the place.
Nothing
about
to see
the
here. Yeah, I mean, you got the sheriffs that are lining up now with True the Vote that are, you know, putting a nationwide hotline on.
I was going to get a hold of True the Vote about our elections here and everything, but they don't do California yet.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite busy in what they're doing, but it would be nice to be able to have somebody else come in. Not that it would do us any good, since the Board of Supervisors, most of them wouldn't even look at.
Well, that's part of the problem, because they don't want to look at things. They don't want to see if it's fair, as long as they get the outcome that they want. You know, and it's not a matter of us getting the outcome we want. It's a matter of, I want to know that they're fair. And I don't think they are. With the numbers, they don't make sense. Then you hear about all this other stuff.
I know. They make it sound like we're just upset because we didn't, you know, our candidates didn't get in. And that's not the case.
No, the we're upset because we think they cheated.
Yeah.
So. And so I think we should be able to verify all this stuff. And then I'm looking at the Gateway Pundit. There's another video here depicting the impossibility of the 2020 election.
Yeah,
result.
I was just looking at that.
And I think when you watch this, you can see how the votes go from mail-in ballots. And they automatically switch over to in-person ballots. If you watch the videos, I'll post this I don't know where I can post this here. I can post it in the chat room. I'll see if I can do that there. And then I'll also post
Yeah, once again, they're showing you how it's done. And it's not just isolated areas.
No. And how can you just switch it over from mail-in ballots to in-person ballots? It doesn't make any sense.
The who controls the keys on the machine.
If you got the machine doing it and it's predetermined, how's that legal? How's that fair? How's that transparent? How's that how's that give you election integrity? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. So. And you would think that anybody that's involved in the election process wouldn't have a problem with reviewing the evidence or reviewing the process and everything. If you truly were for the people,
Right.
You just don't think that they would question it, because it would benefit them just as much as would the other side that's questioning it, wouldn't it?
You would think. Well, in the meantime, the economy's in free fall, despite rumors to the contrary.
No.
It's getting weirder and weirder out there. Prices going up. The world economy is taking, they had bank runs in China this last week.
It's only gone up 9.1% or something. I mean, come on.
That's, yeah, right. So gas doubles in 1 year, but that's 9%, right?
Yeah. Well, if you don't count gas and food and everything, maybe it did go up 9.1%.
Well, you don't need food to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, or live, or anything like that. Well, it's
just, that has no bearing on it.
It's not essential. So going back to the economics this week, you know, we've seen just the stock market bouncing around. We've seen the metals get slammed. The big news is in the bond market is that, it spiked up and then it got slammed down again, which who's buying all this stuff? You know, who's buying all these bonds? Who's buying the stock market? You know, I mean, how does that kind of numbers slam it's unbelievable. We are almost at 3.5% on the bonds, on the treasuries, and it got slammed down to like 2.5% in a matter of a day. Those numbers are too huge to be, it's too stupid to be stupid. And there's, the European Central Bank, in conjunction with the Federal Reserve, took extraordinary measures last weekend and the week before. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is that who's buying all this stuff? Well, BlackRock could be buying it, and also there's Vanguard, but is the Federal Reserve, the question is the Federal Reserve and the European Central Banks buying these bonds directly and buying stock directly? They tell you they're not.
Well, here I have part of the headline. Greenspan admits the Federal Reserve is above the law.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect.
There's no problem here.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, there are new rulers. It's
just getting crazier and crazier with that stuff, yeah.
So that's what we got in our future here. We need to buckle down. The reason I bring it up is not to scare the crap out of everybody, but to scare the crap out of everybody, because if you're not got the crap scared out of you, maybe you're not storing any food, maybe you're not putting anything away, maybe you don't have any precious metals, maybe you don't have anything, I don't know. But the problem is that, right now's the time to buy if you can. And right now is the time to not, you might want to store a few bucks here, but I'd be more worried about food as well. Even though the metals got slammed, that's the paper price on the market. That's not the price of the metals. It's like a lot more if you were trying to buy actual metal. The rest is all paper, the paper derivatives market. Which guys there actually got convicted the last couple weeks over that too, and JP Morgan, two guys got convicted of spooling. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just getting, you can't get any news. You can't get anybody to tell you the truth. You've got to go online and look at sources, and then you can't trust any of those sources. So it's just a mess.
It is a mess, and it's hard for a lot of people out there to, figure out what's really going on. But if you look around, you got to know that something isn't right, and it isn't getting better. You know what I mean? So
are you sure?
I'm pretty sure on that. Well, it depends on who you listen to, but I'm just saying. So, taking care of stuff for yourself, like you say, no matter what it is. I hate to use the term diversified, but you do need to have different areas that you have stuff, whether it's food or silver or whatever. You do need all those things when it does go to crap.
So here's how bad it's getting. Here's the headline. I just said, SoCal Amusement Park, Knott's Berry Farm. Now, we used to go to Knott's Berry Farm.
I've been there several times,
I mean.
We did Disneyland, too, many years ago.
Many years ago. Forced to shut down after violent brawls among youths breakout. That's Knott's Berry Farm.
Wow.
I guess we got.
We got a caller. We've got Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Mark, I missed it. What did you say now is the time to buy?
I'll tell you what. When you look at a market like this, there's not very many things you can put your money into. And it all has to be tangible assets. Gold and silver, because they retain their value over time. High-end art, commodities,
property.
Collector automobiles and real estate that is going to increase in value, like farmland. Wouldn't buy a condominium down in San Francisco in the Tenderloin.
Okay, hey, the main reason I called is to say next week on Poke the Hornet's Nest,
yep,
we're going to have Dale Ball on, and we're going to talk about probably why it wouldn't be a good idea to vote for Aaron Reisner. So everybody tune in.
There you go.
All right.
Perfect.
All right, thanks for calling in, Nick.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Yeah, I'm ready for lunch, man. Just saying.
It is getting that time of day. But, yeah.
It's
just crazy.
And then you got Dementia Joe wandering through the halls of the White House trying to find the bathroom.
Biden tells story about nurses rubbing his face and whispering in his ear during remarks at hospital in East Jerusalem.
The whole 8chan thing is just blowing up. I mean, they got Hunter, the prostitution thing all over the place. He's in the pool, sliding down the slide and naked, pulling on his twacker,
Did you see the one where he's fighting with the prostitute over the meth?
The weight of the crowd.
Yeah, of it. No, that's not right.
You're one point off, buddy.
You included the weight of the baggie.
This is the president's son.
Yeah, no
he's not. They're not compromised anything, are they? By any foreign governments nobody's got this stuff. And then what the hell is Pedal Pete all about? Is that our commander in chief there? I don't know. But I think that more and more is going to come out as this goes on. And it doesn't matter. It's just like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. You get prosecuted, you die in prison, you go to jail, and they don't have any list of anybody that that you worked with. Well, she hasn't committed suicide yet. It's funny that nobody else gets charged.
That's what happens next. Then you commit suicide.
So I forgot that order. We've got to put it in the right order. Right now, she's in jail, and not one person in this huge child trafficking ring of elites all over the world. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows nothing. Yeah, it's fine. It's all good. And in the meantime, we've got Sniff Your Hair Joe and his son running around with crack. Somebody named Pedo Pete.
Isn't that Joe?
Well, I don't know. I'm not on his direct line.
You're not? I just assumed that was Joe himself.
Well, maybe. I don't know. And in the meantime, he's fist bumping with some guy in Arabia to try to get more oil while he's ignored our oil here because, I don't know, maybe he can't figure out where it's at, and begging oil while he's setting up a deal to give Iran trillions of dollars in the Obama 2.0, deal.
I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, it's a fun-filled world out there, right?
I'm looking at another headline. Exclusive just came on. Billions continue to be laundered through the National Institutes of Health. That's the NIH, you know, the Fauci guys that were funding everything, to China's BioWare program. Oh, yeah, and by the way, go get your vaccine and your booster. And nothing. What could go wrong? Nothing. It's all good.
Bill Gates vows to remove himself from the billionaires list by donating all his wealth to his own foundation.
I would love that if it was his organs.
And, you know, he owns almost the big percentage, if not the most, farmland in the United States. Did you know that?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Gates, what a guy.
Yeah, what a guy, what a guy.
Well, I think we're just about there.
We are. Next week we'll have a pretty busy show, too. We've got a couple guests coming in, so it should be a really good show.
Well, I'm going to end it with this one, a new quote. I love the man who can smile at trouble, can gather strength from distress, can grow brave by reflection. It is the business of little minds to shrink, but he whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principles unto death. That's Thomas Paine.
All right, with that, I guess we will see y'all next week.